first up this morning is a gentleman by the name of Andrew Dietz. He's the managing partner for Creative Growth Group. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, we are delighted to have you on the show. Before we dive too deep, how about giving our listeners just a little background on the Creative Growth Group and what you're out there trying to do for folks?
Creative Growth Group works exclusively with professional services firms, those of us who are thinking professionals who have to offer our brain power to business. And we help those firms get better at building sustainable, predictable revenue growth, so helping them with business development.
I understand you also have a bit of a focus and some specific things to offer your clients in terms of this issue I was talking about a moment ago, becoming famous. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, becoming famous, or the marketing buzz speak for that, is what's your positioning? I'd like the vernacular. Who are you? What do you do? And why should anybody care? Professionals have to, you know, whether you're with an enormous firm or you're on your own, what you really are marketing is yourself and your own ability to solve a business's problem in real time using your wits. So it's very, very difficult for firms to differentiate themselves one from another. A little easier for maybe a specialty practice area within a firm, but the real power comes when individual professionals differentiate themselves, when they're famous for something. So while we help our clients with tactically how they attract business to themselves, how they put themselves in a position to be bought, the keystone element of that is knowing what you're famous for.
And how do you go about that? Is there kind of a procedure that you work them through?
There is. You know, first of all, we take a there are really three core elements to what you're famous for. And by the way, we like that term, what you're famous for, because it's intentionally provocative and obnoxious.
Yeah.
You go, what am I famous? I'm not famous for anything. I don't know. But we don't mean it as in famous like on the cover of the Rolling Stone or People magazine or National Enquirer. We mean that you're the go-to person for something. You're especially excellent in a particular area of your practice, not only what you do, but how you do what you do. That's what we mean by being famous. To understand what somebody's famous for, we take them through a journey around three main points. Number one, their clients. You ask the average professional who they serve, and they're afraid to say one particular type of client. They say anybody and everybody, businesses. Oh, so you mean if, you know, I know the barber shop over there and the OK Cafe shopping center, and, you know, the guy that runs that barber shop might like to use your services. Is that who you? No, that's not who we work. Well, who do you work with? So we drive our clients to really be very specific about especially who.
So what do you think drives that fear? Are they worried about being pigeonholed and missing some opportunity? Or?
Exactly. So we have to, and we'd encourage any listener to think about it this way. Understanding who you're famous to or especially famous for is just that. It's about the word especially, not exclusively.
Mm.
We're not asking our clients to be exclusively about anything, but especially about something. It's not about what you eliminate. It's what you emphasize that sticks in an audience's brain.
So you're saying that if you have a client that, say, they're especially good working with accountants and they're focusing on accountants, that might also lead them to lawyers or other industry, but they would be especially good at accounts because that's what they focus on?
That's correct. The way our brains work is that you know, they're like filing systems, and when we, let's say, want to get a referral from somebody, and most professionals get their business through referrals.
Yeah.
But if you ask a professional, well, how do those referrals come to you? It's usually by accident. So what if you were intentional about that? Well, to be intentional about that, we need to guide our potential referral source to help us. And to do that, we have to help them know where in their filing cabinet of information, in their gray matter, they can identify something that can be of help. And the more specific we are in how we guide them, the better off we are. So we might say, you know, I have an organization that's especially good at helping professional services firms. For example, we do a lot with accounting firms. You know, accountants don't go to become CPAs because they want to be salespeople.
Right.
And yet, if they can't attract clients, they can't succeed. So, you know, for example, we work with accounting firms. Somebody is usually likely to make the leap to law firms, consulting firms, marketing firms, or any other kind of firm. But we've directed them specifically. So the starting point is clients. Who are you especially famous for? And by the way, there are a number of ways to describe that client. It's not just by, or that client you're famous for. It's not just by what we might call an objective, quantifiable, or demographic characteristic. In other words, not just what industry that client's in. Could be how they do what they do. Could be their culture. Family businesses operate differently than private equity-backed businesses, and they operate differently than publicly traded companies. So there's a psyche that's different. You could be famous for serving one of those types of organizations. Has nothing to do with what industry they're in, but how they're baked. Another way is what situation they're facing. You could be famous for helping a company in a certain type of situation. We're especially good, for example, at helping companies when they merge to integrate certain processes around business development. So clients, that's number one, and there are a number of ways to slice that. And it's not about what you're exclusively famous for or who you're exclusively famous to, but especially.
Especially.
And then the second piece is what benefit you provide, what value you provide to that client, how you do that in a way that's different than anybody else. Just in the interest of alliterations and things like that, or mnemonics, whatever the term is, we've got three C's: clients, capabilities, and there's a third one I'll come to in a minute. So capabilities or benefits and value. What is it that you do that's especially unique? Again, professionals are often reluctant to be pigeonholed. They're afraid that they'll exclude something. But again, we're just asking you to think about especially what you do. You know, there's a lot that that Desai Group does. But Stone, what I understand is you're especially famous for helping companies think differently about innovation.
Right.
That's a what you do. But how do you do that in a way that's different? That may be certain secret sauce that you have, maybe a process that you have for understanding a company's innovation process and or lack of one, and introducing one that's different and actually works repeatedly. How you do what you do is also a function of you and your likability and what your style is. Right? Just like products have different styles, there's a difference between walking into a Starbucks and walking into a Caribou Coffee, or you know, driving a BMW and driving a Land Rover. Right? It can feel different to work with a professional. So how does it feel to work with you? How is that different? All those elements, and then you know, and then the punchline of all that is, how does all that benefit the client? All those things add up to that second piece, capabilities or value delivered. And then there's the third component. This may be a longer answer than you hoped for. The third component is competitors. Who do you want to be compared to? Right? Positioning.
Yeah.
Positioning is the idea, which what we're talking about, what you're famous for. Positioning, you know, when I say positioning, what do you think of? What does that make you think of?
Like a brand position, you know, where
or
you are in the market
share. Or how my customer sees me.
Yeah, how your customer sees you. It actually comes from the idea of a location. A position is a location.
Right.
It's a location we might own in somebody's mind. How do we want somebody to think about us? Or think about GPS, Global Positioning Satellite. Right. So there are, you know, how does somebody view us relative to our competitors? So that third part is competitors. How do we want to be perceived relative to others? And a good question to ask around how you want to be, in the course of thinking about how you want to be famous or what you want to be famous for, is who do you want to be compared to and who don't you? You know, you may name names. I won't do that on the air. But as for ourselves, I just say, you know, we'd like to be compared to the highest end, you know, thought leaders in our particular field that focus on sort of whisper in the ear advice to the top level firms in the world, as opposed to, you know, maybe a training organization that just trains on selling techniques,
right,
and tricks and tips to manipulate others. That's not our focus. We'd rather be compared to the latter. The former. Yeah.
Do you find, Andrew, at least initially when you start working with these clients, that they haven't thought any of this through and maybe don't have very good answers to these three questions?
In almost every case, they don't. And that's true whether we deal with the individual professional or the managing partner at a major firm. They really don't. Because traditionally, businesses just come in. And especially now in this economy, ain't so anymore. We got to be very intentional. The other key to about thinking about what you're famous for is professionals have very limited time. They don't have, in professional services, we don't necessarily have the luxury of being, having a lot of other resources to help do things for us. I worked in a major corporation for a number of years, and we had administrative assistants and specialists in finance and specialists in this and that.
Right.
As a professional, you're kind of do it all. Even if you're in a larger firm, you have to bring in the work, execute the work, help manage the firm, be involved in the community, and maybe even have a life outside of all that. So the question of how you spend your time is a really challenging one. Positioning or knowing what you're famous for is more than about coming up with an elevator pitch. It's about having a way to decide how to spend your time. So if you only have time to spend with one relationship in the market or engage in one marketing tactic, which one and why? How would you make that decision? What you're famous for, your positioning helps you do that.
And then from the customer standpoint, when I realize what you're famous for, then I can kind of lock that in my brain so that whenever I think of that need or have that need, then I'm thinking of you. Is that the objective of all this?
Well, that's one part of it. One part of it is how others think about you so that they can think about you more readily and more accurately and help you more directly, and you can help them. The other and perhaps more important part is, in a sense, how you communicate with yourself and how you decide how you spend your time. So, let's say you look at your calendar this coming week and you take a look at who you've penciled in for breakfast and lunch. I'd urge you to go back and look at that and say, well, which one of these folks really, if I build a relationship with this individual, which one best reflects my positioning and what I want to be famous for? Which one might detract from it?
It becomes a prism that everything is seen through?
Exactly. It's a decision tool, and everything you do should wrap around and reinforce that claim to fame.
And do you ever find that you go in, you have this conversation, you get people to sort of open their minds to this pattern of thinking, and now they're starting to have some answers to the questions, but they don't like the answers?
Say more about that.
Well, I was just actually applying this to our own firm, the Desai Group. If you were to come in and sit down with me and Jatin Desai and our VP, Dan Brown, and you asked us some of these questions, I have to believe we might not like some of the answers. You know, we might want to change
some
of these answers.
Yeah, that is often true, Stone. And so positioning is grounded in not only what you are right now, but it also is or can be aspirational. What are you shooting for? How would you like to be famous? And then we can guide our efforts in that direction. And again, make sure all our activities line up and reinforce that aspirational claim to fame. What do we want to be known for?
So what's the most
fun? So there's hope for all of you.
Well, good. That's encouraging. What do you find the most fun about this kind of work? And as a sort of a follow-up, what do you find, if anything, frustrating about trying to do this for folks?
You know, it really changes people's lives. I know we're not curing cancer or anything, but on a small scale, if we can take what is otherwise a miserable part of most professionals' lives or their professional life, hey, I don't want to be a salesperson. Well, you're not a salesperson, really. We're not talking about selling. We're talking about putting yourself in a position to be bought. How do you do that? How do you use what you have right now, the assets that you have right now? And what if you could be famous for something? Maybe even as famous as maybe being on the front page of your industry's trade publication or more. What if that could happen? Well, what if you could not only use your existing assets, not be like anybody else, but be yourself and grow your practice? Wouldn't that be more fun? Wouldn't that be better? And what if you could not just chase random tactics, but you had a strategy behind it? You know, that might feel more comfortable. And that's what we're doing with our clients. And they feel the change and they tell us they're changing. And So in a small way, we feel like we're helping to change their lives, and that feels good. That's our favorite part.
Well, that has to be very rewarding work, I'm sure. I mean, you know, what if they could get on, like, the high-velocity radio show?
Exactly.
Right?
People can dream, Stone. People can dream.
That's right. Don't give up that dream.
Well, now that I've achieved this goal, I don't know what's next.
You're done, man. That's
going to Disney World. I don't know.
Your cleats. You're doing something with your group that sounded very innovative to me, and I picked up a little bit about it on the website, but it's these Creative Advisor Awards, am I remembering that right?
The Client Advisor Awards.
Client Award, yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, the Client Advisor Awards have a couple of purposes. Number one, they're a way to recognize the economic impact of professional services on a local economy. So those of us who advise, often behind the scenes, the major companies in any local market. In my case, we've launched that first in Atlanta. We're in the process of rolling our firm out into other major metro markets, but the Client Advisor Awards began in Atlanta. It's on its fourth year. We bring about, first of all, it's something that runs through the year, and we're accepting nominations right now for that. The nominations are for two types of award. One is an award for for advisors, so professionals, and we try to set a put out in the public a set of criteria for how professional services firms and professionals should behave in their relationship with clients, from how they first meet that client to how they service the client to what happens after an engagement's finished. Equally, or maybe even more important, is there are awards for clients. We've all had clients from, let's just say, the southern regions, and they don't get our best work, those clients from, the difficult clients. So what if you could be a client from choice? I'm trying not to use provocative language. But what if you could be a client of choice? What would happen then? What if you didn't treat us like vendors, but you treated us in a different way? What would that look like? And what would happen? What kind of value would you get out of an engagement with a professional service firm if you behaved differently as a client? So we try to set those standards. So there are awards for clients and advisors. And there's also an award that we've introduced last year for a client and advisor pair that have worked together some way on behalf of a community activity, a not-for-profit, a charity. So that's the awards program. And, we've run that every year for the past 4 years. We've had about a couple hundred people come to the event. It's at a swanky private club here in town. I like to have these at places that normally wouldn't let me in, so that's good.
Yeah, good idea.
And, we have a keynote speaker, and we do a client advisor summit ahead of time as well. So I would encourage anybody listening who's with a professional services firm, who thinks they're especially well-qualified, to check out our website for the awards, which is www.clientadvisorawards.com. And download a nomination. We are now accepting nominations for the 2009 awards. The event itself takes place in December, first Tuesday in December, but nominations are starting now.
Oh, terrific. And what other ways can our listeners get in touch with you as they want to learn more about becoming famous and enhancing their practices?
Our website for the firm is www.creativegrowthgroup.com. And they may also be interested in our blog, which is Growing Professional Services, www.growingprofessionalservices.com.
Terrific. Well, thanks so much for being on the show. But you know, before we let you go, Andrew, we have a little tradition here on the High Velocity Radio Show where we ask each guest, if they would, to share a mistake that they've made somewhere in their career, and really, more importantly, what they learned from it. Could we get you to do that for us?
Yeah. Well, you know, the challenging part of that is filtering through all the mistakes to find just one.
I'll bet.
Yeah, you know, there's the line I heard about the CEO who, was asked why he's so good at what he does, and he said, you know, experience. And they said, well, you know, how do you get that experience? You know, how'd you get that experience to be so high and lofty as you are? And he said, decisions, you know, good decisions. And they said, how did you learn how to make good decisions? And he said, a lot of bad mistakes. and that's true for me as well. I'd say, though, that, you know, what I'm doing now, I love. I'm really get jazzed by it. Love everything about it. Love the people I'm working with. feel like everybody we work with is a friend, and that's a really good way to live, not just to work. So I'd say, by contrast, the biggest mistakes I've made in my career have been doing things that I really wasn't jazzed about just because I thought a business was a business.
Yeah.
When I was in my mid-20s, I had the opportunity to join a family business. One of my family members had been very successful, sold his company and started a new one, invited me to join him in a manufacturing company that was, you know, doing just kind of nasty, dirty manufacturing. And, you know, my background was marketing, publishing, and advertising. You know, what did I know about running a factory?
Yeah.
And that was just a really bad experience from which I wished I would have learned once, but I did it again in my career another time. And, you know, believe that I'm now in a place where all the stars are aligning and I'm doing what I really get jazzed about. And life's totally different when you do that.
Oh, well, that's terrific. And we're happy for you. And I know that you've got to be delivering better value for your clients because you really are jazzed about what you're doing.
Yeah, enthusiasm makes a difference.
Yeah, I think it really does. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Can you hang out a little while we interview our next guest?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome.
It.